My headpan's already full. Being there just makes these illustrations so real. Well, I bless God again for that introduction to the day. That's the kind of wine that I want to drink. That's the kind of wine I want. I'll get drunk on that. Amen. He was sharing. Thought about, wine. The world's wine comes in a lot of different forms, doesn't it? Here in America. You can buy wine in little plastic boxes about that long and about that high and about a half inch thick. You can go and get drunk at the dry goods store and get some wine there. All kinds of things we can drink. We wouldn't go and get the beer and the whiskey, but there's a lot of other wines around that thirsty people go for. We want to talk about that this morning. Like if we would bow our heads once more for prayer. Father, come to you this morning in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would breathe on this lesson, Father, with your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would take away any resistance, touchiness from our hearts, that we would be just open. We would let you search our hearts. Father, I pray that you would bless the young people with this searching message. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I tremble a little bit this morning with the assignment that I have here. This principle of the two kingdoms, studying it like we have so far, brings us to a place of decision this morning. There's no other way than to ask you this today, each one of you, to choose. You have a choice to make. You have a decision to make. I've been trying so far this week to give you the truth, the reality, the facts. And now you have a choice to make. The title this morning is Choosing God's Kingdom. Choosing God's Kingdom. Matthew says that we're to seek first the kingdom of God. That word seek means to covet earnestly the kingdom of God. That doesn't sound like an indifferent attitude, does it, young men? Covet earnestly the kingdom of God. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. So far, we've been trying to do lay out in your mind that there's Satan's kingdom. And all the things that go along with Satan's kingdom. There's the goals of this world and the members in this kingdom, and there's a vision. This kingdom has a goal, and this kingdom has a method, and this kingdom has an end, and we've been looking at that. Here is Satan's kingdom. And then we also have Christ's kingdom. Christ's kingdom too has a king. And it has members in it. It's made up of people. And it has a vision. And it has goals. And it has a future. So we have Satan's kingdom and Christ's kingdom. Our title this morning is Choosing God's Kingdom. If you will go back to the Old Testament and carefully read the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, you would discover something. Elijah did not go up on Mount Carmel to show to the people that God was able to burn stones and water and dust. That was not what he had in mind. When it was all done, the fire fell, the altar was burnt, the water was licked up, the dust was gone. He turned to the people and he said, "Now people, you have a choice to make. The purpose of what we've done up here on this mountain today was to show you the facts so that you can make a right choice. By God's grace, that's what I've tried to do this week. To show you the facts. To help you today to choose to make a right decision." And so he told the people, you make a choice now. If Jehovah is God, then serve Him. See, they weren't doing that in Israel. And if Baal is God, then serve Him. It brings you to a decision. Are you choosing Satan's kingdom? Are you choosing Christ's kingdom? You must choose which king you will let rule in your life. Which king you're going to follow. Which king you're going to get your direction from. Which king you're to go to and say, "Lord, I need direction." You're going to choose a king. You know, that's really the only decision in the Christian life. That's the only decision. You know, I wrote down here on my notes that this is the most important decision, and I scratched it out and wrote underneath, it's the only decision that you have to make. Am I going to choose this kingdom, or am I going to choose this kingdom? It's the only choice that you have to make. When you make your choice, as you make this choice, this kingdom or this kingdom, I want you to realize that you're entering in to a battle. You're entering in to a conflict. It began in eternity past when Lucifer rebelled against God and he rose up in rebellion and said, "I'm going to take God's place, usurp His authority, take His throne." And so from eternity past, there's been enmity between this kingdom and this kingdom. As you choose, realize, you are entering a conflict. You don't make a choice for Christ's kingdom and go home just merry and free and everything is just a happy ever after. You are getting into a battle. You are entering into a conflict. In Genesis 3, God preached the first gospel message there. And there were three people in the audience that day. I believe it was Adam and Eve and the serpent. And he preached the gospel message. And all the way back there in Genesis 3, God said that there is going to be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Now, who is that seed of the woman that's referred to? It's Christ. There's going to be enmity between the seed of the woman, that is Christ, and the seed of the serpent. And so, you stand up there on Mount Carmel, and you say, I'm going to choose Jehovah God. And immediately, you are put into conflict with the kingdom of Baal. Immediately. The moment you make that choice, the word comes from the prophet Elijah. It says, all right, now we have a work to do. And what did they do next? He told the people, there are the prophets of Baal, take care of them. That followed. Immediately there was bloodshed, there was battle, there was conflict, there was difficulty. I do not care for a gospel message that says, accept Jesus and you'll be happy and you'll have joy and everything will go all right. And a person makes a commitment to Christ and immediately it's conflict, temptation, trials. And they say, I've been fed a lie. And so, in discouragement, even if their commitment was true, they turn away. And then you have a job the next time you meet them and you try to talk to them about a commitment to Christ and to His kingdom. It happens. We meet them all the time. When you choose Christ's kingdom, you choose everything that is included in the kingdom of Christ. You cannot. And this is where we're taking up from yesterday. You cannot choose Christ's kingdom and go home from here and live according to the principles of Satan's kingdom. You cannot take Christ as your king and all of the rudiments of the world and put them together in some kind of hybrid. It is impossible. If you guide your life by the elements in Satan's kingdom, you're not part of Christ's kingdom. And today I want to make crystal clear in your mind that it is one or the other. It is one or the other. If I can convince you of that today, I'll do you one of the greatest favors that ever was done to you. To force you to make a decision. Because there's, as long as you are living according to the principles of this kingdom and thinking that you're here, you are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving me. You know, if you are living according to the principles of this kingdom while professing to be part of Christ's kingdom, spiritual people see right through that. You're not deceiving anybody. Except yourself. That's all you're deceiving. Like was mentioned earlier this week, this is a spiritual law. You can't break it. It's just like gravity. You jump out the building head first, you're going to break your head open. And that's the same thing that's true here. It's Christ and everything that goes along with Christ and His kingdom, or else it's this. It's one or the other. And this is not Brother Philip's idea. But look at Luke 16 and verse 13. Luke 16 and 13, no servant, and you're not the exception to that. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot. You cannot serve God and mammon. No exceptions. You must choose. Now, maybe you still say, well, I'm going to serve both. I'm not willing to make such an exclusive, radical choice. I'm going to serve both. I'm going to name the name of Christ, and I'm going to follow a few of these principles over here too. God's Word says, let every man that names this name do what? Depart from iniquity. You name the name of Christ, you depart from this. But I want both. Did you know that God tells me that if you say you're going to have both, that you have already chosen one? God's Word tells me that if you say, I'm going to have some of both, God says you have made your choice already. You have chosen one. You say, well, no, I haven't chosen one. I've chosen both. You can't do that. And God knew that that's what man would say. And so He put James chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 in the Bible, just for you. James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world, and this is what I see in here, a professed commitment to Christ, I've named the name of Christ, here I say, here is my loyalty. That's what I say with my mouth. But I have an affair, a friendship with the world over here. Notice what God says. Know ye not? Apparently you don't know this principle that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He says if you have a dual commitment, or a friendship with the world that you have already decided which kingdom you're a part of. God says you're my enemy. Now you might not think that God's your enemy, but God says you're my enemy. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Maybe verse 5 is a little hard to understand. But it simply means that God is a jealous God and He's yearning for an exclusive relationship with you. And that principle is throughout the whole Scriptures. True husbands are jealous husbands. I'm a husband. I have a wife and family. And I'm a jealous husband. I want my wife to be just for me. All right? That's what verse 5 is saying. That's what it's saying. You can study it out like I did. God is saying, I'm a jealous husband. And I don't want you going around and being unfaithful to me. Remember what the fifth identity of the kingdom of God was? We're a waiting bride. And here's that principle again. God calls a plural friendship what? What does He call it? Right at the beginning of the verse, 4. Adultery. A plural friendship is adultery. If you're friendly here and you're friendly here, God says adulterer and adulteress. That's what He says. That's awesome. Isn't that what adultery is? Adultery is making a commitment to one partner, and at the same time on the sly, sort of having another partner over here. That's adultery. Having a friendship here and a friendship here. Adultery. God calls it adultery. recently came across the scripture, one of the prophets, where God was talking to the children of Israel. He said something to them that was awesome. He said that you have spiritually played the whore with me. That's what he told them. With your idols. Israel went to the temple. They had all of the sacrifices and all that went with the temple worship. And at the same time over here, they had their idols. And God says, you're playing the whore. You're saying that, God, I'm true to you. I love you. You're my king. And then you go home and bow down to idols. The last part of the verse says, because of this spiritual adultery, your children, the next generation, are going to commit adultery, physical adultery. This dual friendship in the spiritual realm leads to moral debauchery. It always does. And I wonder, as I see plain people and plain churches that are eaten up within with moral defilement, and I say, why? Do you know why, Brother John? It's because years ago they failed in their commitment to Christ right here. They failed in their commitment to Christ, and the next generation is physically playing the whore. That's awesome to me. If we do not get the commitment right here straight, there is nothing but moral debauchery down the road for us. Why is it that these moral sins, whether it's bestiality or homosexuality or all the other perversions, why is it that that has crept into plain people? It happened back here. Here's that cause. And we can find it all the way back in the Old Testament. That was awesome to discover that. Friendship with the world today, moral debauchery tomorrow. That's right. Friendship with the world today, moral decay tomorrow. And you won't break that law either. It will come to pass. And so there's only one thing to do, and that's an honest look at our commitment to Christ's kingdom. And make sure that we have accepted Christ as Lord of everything, and all of the rudiments of Christ is being formed in our life. That's the only solution. That is the solution. That's strong language there in James 4. Each one of these kingdoms has its set of rudiments. We looked at that yesterday. There are rudiments. There are those elements that compose Satan's kingdom. You take your life and you build your character, choosing the elements of the world to put into your life, into your being. And when you're finished putting your puzzle all together, you have produced this right here. That's the result. Those elements, those small parts, those little decisions, you begin to put one of them together, and one here, and one here, and one here, and this is what you have. I want you to notice what is the opposite of the rudiments of the world. Maybe you missed it in Colossians 2. Go back to that, Colossians 2 and verse 8. I hardly can perceive that you would have missed it after Brother John's lesson yesterday again this week. Colossians 2 and verse 8. He says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not. What is the opposite of the rudiments of the world? Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Christ! The life of Christ, the teaching of Christ, the example of Christ is the opposite of the rudiments of the world. You choose the rudiments of the world, you reject Christ. To choose Christ, you reject the rudiments of the world. Choosing the kingdom of God. Choosing God's kingdom. I just want to challenge your heart. I like to do a little examining. You know what exams are. Exams are when you test it. Now I would like to do that. I would like you this morning to take your life. For you to take who you are and take your life apart like you would a puzzle. And take each part of your life, each of your attitudes, each of your motives, and hold them up. Did that attitude, did that motive, did that thought come from here? Or is it after Christ? Is it here? That's what I want to do this morning. I just want you to take your life and just take and pop those pieces apart. And we're going to take a look at it. We're going to hold the piece up here and say, now let's see, does that look like that came from that one? Or is that after Christ? And it's really not that hard to do. We can just take our life and we can do a little heart searching, a little soul searching and hold it up there. Nah, that didn't look like that. Yeah, that's after Christ. Well, praise God. I want to do that. And then I want to challenge you when you put your puzzle back together to any piece that does not come from here after Christ. Why don't you find the piece over here that's after Christ and put that into your life? Put your puzzle together that way. Take, for example, your relationship to godly authority. We could do that one with young people. That's real suitable, isn't it? Let's just take your relationship to godly authority. And now we'll get that one out and we'll start breaking the pieces off of it and hold it up here. And see where those thoughts, those attitudes that are in your heart concerning godly authority, did you get, are they after Christ? Or are they after the world? Are they the rudiments of the world? Or are they after Christ? Those angry words that come out of your mouth when you're irritated, which pile did you get those off of? You know whenever, you know how it goes. Something irritates you, and those words come out. They come from here? They come from here. Those words, those harsh words, those bitter words, those vindictive words, those words that hurt. After Christ? Really? No, not after Christ. That's not where they came from. You have taken the rudiments of the world and made it part of your life. And I want you to take that piece and just throw it away and get rid of it. Christ after Christ. You have a misunderstanding at home. A misunderstanding at home. Mom or dad, someone didn't understand you. And then those feelings come whelming up in your heart. Take a look at those feelings. Are those feelings after Christ? Or are they rudiments of the world? I'd like you just to search your heart. A struggle comes up. Satan comes along. Hey, young lady, hey, here. Choose some off of this pile. Choose some off of this pile. No. Christ, I want to follow your example in what I say under pressure. Do you understand? See what I'm talking about? Those words that overflow out of your heart when you're with another rebel. You know what I mean by another rebel? It seems like they sort of find each other. I've observed that in teaching school and being a pastor for a few years. You take one that's sort of inside, and they can find another one just that quick. And so they get together, and then the overflow comes out. I'm frustrated. You know what's going on. You know what Brother Philip said. Do you know what? And those words that come out, where did they come from? Are those maybe some of those rudiments of the world that we were talking about? Or those after Christ? Which pile did they come from? That voice that rises up in your heart that says to mom or dad, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. It's not after Christ. It's not after Christ. It's not. Christ didn't do it. That's not after Christ. Which pile does touchiness come off of? You know what touchiness is? Brother Mose talked about it some. Touchiness, so sensitive. We have to deal with you with kid gloves. We can't come to you and say, sister, let me just share something with you. And the moment we say it, there comes this, leave me alone. I'm doing all right. Mind your own business. Touchiness. I wonder if you'd take touchiness and hold it up beside these two sets of elements here. Which one would touchiness come off of? It would be pretty clear, wouldn't it? It's really not that hard, is it, Brother Denny? You just take a good look at it and you can say, oh, that touchiness. Christ wasn't that way. Where does that deception come from? You know what deception is? You hide, you cover up. What were you saying the word was? Wickedness? Wicked. It means to weave. You don't know what... I'll let Brother John give that next year. He has a blessing for you sometime. This covering up. This hiding. This doing behind the back. Which pile does that come from? I think that Jesus didn't do things in the corner, did he? Did he? You want to be after? He didn't do the things in the corner after Christ. Choosing the kingdom of God, making a choice. Here's a young man. He's no longer a child. You're no longer a child. You're growing up. You're beginning to think things through for yourself. You know what I'm talking about? You start making decisions. Just compare the last couple questions to this. He goes to Christ. And he gets a sweet spirit of submission. He says, I like that element to be in my life. I'll take that one. And then he realizes all that his mother and father have done for him. And he sees here's gratefulness. And he takes gratefulness and says, I want to have a grateful attitude toward my parents. They've done a lot for me. They've been so patient with me. They have helped me so much. And then he gets a little joy. He says, you know, that we need that one. And then he mixes it all together. Submission and gratefulness and joy. And he mixes it all together. And has a beautiful relationship with his parents because of it. Because he has taken the elements that are after Christ and made them a part of his life.
it really works.
Just as surely if you take hydrogen and oxygen, you're going to get this right here if you mix it in a 2-to-1 ratio. Just that surely. It's just as predictable. And so I see an individual, a young person, that has just a real difficult time with godly authority. A real difficult time with parental relationships. And you try to talk to them about it, and they just woof at you. I say, it's not after Christ. It's not after Christ. Choices. Am I going to build my character from these elements or these? I'm going to build my character from one or the other. You know, here's another example. And I know that some of you young people struggle with this. Maybe you still do. Just a love of the world's sports. Playing around just the sports of this world. Which pile did that come from, I wonder? Which pile did it come from? I wonder if it would help us decide if we took a look at it this way. I'll spend an hour or two this evening enjoying my sport, whether it's in a magazine, the radio, newspaper, whatever. Go to bed. No relationship with God. No opening up of the book. It doesn't seem like that's after Christ, does it? It's not after Christ. That came from somewhere else. Wasting time in trivia is over here. It's not over there. From Christ we learn to redeem the time, to buy up the time, to use the time wisely. From Christ we learn that physical exercise profits just a little. And so we don't spend every night of the week playing. I was so blessed in a church community that I know of to see a volleyball court nearly go out of business. That was such a refreshment to me to see that happen. It just thrilled me. You know when it happened? It happened when the young people, without a shadow of a doubt, said, "It's Christ. I'm after Christ." And it just sort of left. Do you know why? Because it was over here. Young ladies, what do you think you'll look like if you would go to Christ and from Christ get a spirit of modesty, simplicity, a spirit of neatness and orderliness, and a spirit of purity? All right, we get those. We get a spirit of modesty, a spirit of simplicity, a spirit of neatness, a spirit of purity, and now we get in our car and we go to the dry goods store to buy dress material. That'd be the way to go, wouldn't it, young ladies? You go over here and you get these rudiments, and you put them in your life. Now it's time. And then you come home and you sit down at the sewing machine. That's how practical it is. Take a spirit of modesty, a spirit of purity, and arrange your hair with that once. And see how it comes out. Compare that to the young lady who goes shopping to make a new dress. Instead of simplicity, she has a spirit of vanity. I think I'll look cute in this. And she goes shopping with that. Where did she get the spirit of vanity? Did that come off of this? Or off of this? Is that after Christ? Or is that after the world? You know what it'll do? That spirit of vanity will help her decide what kind of material to get, what style of dress to make, what collar it'll be. Instead of getting a spirit of purity, she goes with a spirit of lust and makes a dress. The dress will come out different. It really will. Will the results be the same? The answer is no. The one is after Christ. The other is after the world. And I'm not saying that there's one pattern of dress. I'm saying that if you get the rudiments that build and develop your character after Christ, it will show up in as practical of an area as how you comb your hair, how you attire yourself, how you walk, how you sit, and all of that. It's that practical. And it doesn't matter to me if it's a jumper or a blouse or cape dress or that, it doesn't matter to me. You know, the person that's getting their principles off of here, they get all the tucks and the puffs at the wrong place. They do. They get their rudiments off of here, and then they sit down to the sewing machine and they put all their tucks and the puffs at the wrong places. Where there ought to be a puff, they put a tuck. I'm saying this morning that you're choosing. You are choosing either from these principles that are after Christ or principles after the world. And I wonder sometimes, and young men too, you put on those trousers and they are just skin tight. It's horrible. Now I ask two questions. Are you blind? I mean spiritually blind. Are you blind? Or are you deliberately doing it? I'd like to find out. If you're blind, I know a way to make you see. If you're deliberately doing it, I'd like you just to come out and declare yourself. I'd like you to choose. For the last 70 years, however many it was, Elijah said, now you've been in your heart saying you're serving God and at the same time letting this Baal stuff go on. He says, today it's time for you to step out and be counted. After Christ. I just plead with you, get some help. Just get some help. If you're struggling with it, get some help. It has been such a blessing for my wife and I to sit down with some of the young people that are right here this morning and for them to open up their lives and say, no one's ever taught me, no one's ever showed me how this works. Would you show me how it works? And to be able to very carefully just sit down with them, my wife and I together, the young lady, myself with the young men, and start and just tell them what modesty is all about and simplicity and neatness and purity. And show them how this works in as practical things as when you buy a pair of shoes, what you do with it. It's been a blessing to have some of those, and we have had some of those, and it's a real blessing to see the difference it made in their life. And the reason is, they were just a little blind. They were not deliberately, obstinately saying, this is the way I want it to be. And they were open. Take your bookshelf. Prop it up here besides these two kingdoms and each of their rudiments. I wonder which rudiments were put into the book that stirs up the lusts and passions in your heart. You know, that book has rudiments behind it. That book has an idea. I wonder where the writer got his rudiments. When he sat down to write the book, did he get them over there or did he get them over here? You read it, your passions are aroused, you battle with thoughts in your mind. The writer got his rudiments over there when he wrote that book. I'd like you to search your heart. I wonder if it would make a difference which pile you get your courtship standards off of. Think that would make a difference in your courtship? You know, you're going to have to, some of you are courting, some of you are thinking about it. Praise God. That you know, you're going to have to get your courtship standards off of one or the other. I wonder if it'll make a difference. You know it will. We could just spend hours, couldn't we? Just taking a look at these rudiments, these elements. Where am I getting them to guide my life? You're building a life, young people. You're building a life. You're building a character. You're choosing elements to put into that to build it. Why don't you just throw away those rudiments? Why don't you just call them sin and throw them away and repent of them and go over and get some from Christ? Till Christ be formed in you. Why don't you do that this morning? We do not just simply add Jesus to our lives. We don't do that. We just don't just take a carnal heart and add Jesus to it. That's a mixture. It cannot be. We cast all away and follow only Christ. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 10. That's a beautiful verse, isn't it? That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And let me tell you that you take the rudiments of Christ and build your life with Him, and when Christ returns, you won't be ashamed because you'll be just like Christ. You'll fit right in real good. That's what I want for you. I read that verse and I began to ponder. I said, I wonder where those things that are excellent come from. Which pile do you think they come from? The things that are excellent. All of the thoughts and the motives and the ideas and the desires in your heart are either after the world or after Christ. All of them, every one of them, it's either after the world or it's after Christ. And it's such a blessing to go to Christ and to take His character, His example, and ask God to form it in you and to pray over it and labor over it and fast over it. Get some counsel over it. Go to your pastor over it. Go to mom and dad over it. You know what will happen. You will magnify God with your life. Your life will become one of those unforgettable demonstrations as a young man or a young lady. One of those science experiments. That's what your life will become. And I praise God that there are young men and women here. You know what I'm talking about. You've done this. And that's exactly what God is doing to your life. He is making your life an unforgettable illustration of Christ. And what happens is that others, they see. They notice. They're thirsty. They come and say, where are you drinking from after Christ? Oh, that looks like what I want. God help us. God help us. Would you be willing this morning to make a commitment? To say, Lord, I commit myself this morning to choose Christ. And where I have taken rudiments from the world, I reject them. I repent of them. Forsaking all, I take Christ. I'd like if we would kneel together in prayer. You can just go ahead and make that commitment before Christ right now. You can go from here. Go home. Take these principles and live them out in your life. You go home and take that part of your life that was made from the rudiments of the world and cleanse your temple. You can do that. It's what God wants you to do. Father, we come to You and with sobered hearts here this morning. Father, there are some here that have been trying to mix these two kingdoms. They've been trying to live a dual life. Father, would You, by Your Holy Spirit, show them that it's adultery? Would You give them the grace to bow their hearts to the Lord Jesus and take Christ completely and alone as the King and Lord over all their life, their motives, their attitudes, their thoughts, their ideas, their dreams, that they would be after Christ. Lord, I pray that You would give us grace. Oh, that Your Spirit would be poured out upon us, Lord. Father, that Your unction would be upon us. That it wouldn't be words from Philip, but it'd be words from You, speaking in our heart, speaking to us in the night seasons. In our hearts when we arise and when we go to bed, when we go out and when we come in. Lord, won't You do that for us? Won't You raise up a group of young people that won't end up in the next generation in moral debauchery? Won't You do it, Lord? Won't You give us a single eye after You? Lord, and spare us and save us from the decay and the debauchery that comes from an indifferent commitment to Christ. Father, I just pray that You would change homes and change lives and change church communities by the picture of Christ that you can be in these young people. Make them a generation, Lord, that any wayfaring man, any stranger can see them and learn of Christ from them. Make each one of them, the young men and the young women, preachers of righteousness because of a life that's after Christ. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the two kingdoms. Lord, we do take Christ and Him alone. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for forgiveness of sins. We thank You, Father, for Your mercy on us. Father, I pray that You would take this message and let it bring forth fruit in our lives now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you for your careful attention. Two kingdoms, that's what it is. That's what it's all about. Two kingdoms. Not just non-resistance, is it? It's more than that. It's not just wearing a suspender or wearing a belt or a cape dress. It's much more than that. It's a lot more than that. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.